On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Sweet Tuesday morning, came on your smile.
Tuesday. Girl in the cut, she chooses.
Sun comes up, it's Tuesday morning.
Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a name on you?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I am the one in the middle. I'm the one that's waving to you right now. That's me with the white tennis shoes. That's so stupid. Thank you. How are you today? Good to be with you. You're looking extra good today. Did you wash your hair this morning? Come here. Come over here. Oh, and you smell good too. What is that? What is that that perfume cologne thing that you're wearing? Oh, eau de toilette. Isn't that funny that they call perfume toilet water? Ew. Ew. You're wearing toilet water? What? Eau de toilette. Oh, that's different. That's different. You said toilette as opposed to toilet. That's different. I don't know French too well. In high school... I took French for 3 years, and I only know three phrases, and they have to do with like how are you and where's the library. Other than that, I kind of lost French wise. But I believe eau de toilette is oh the toilet. Oh no! It's like when you're at a friend's house and you go to their bathroom and something gets stuck. And the toilet starts overflowing. You run out of the bathroom and you yell, oh, the toilet. Oh, the toilet. Toilet water. Seriously, toilet water is like a perfume kind of thing. And I don't know. I'm not sure. I can't imagine dabbing a little toilet water behind my ear and having the women go, oh, what is that odor? Is it toilet water? That's wonderful. It's eau de feces water. Oh, all right, that's enough. That's enough. You know, you've gone too far now. It's not that I say things that are out of line. It's that you make me say them. And now it's your fault, you see. That's an art. That's an art. No, that's your fault. That's a real art. Anyway, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate your kindness and your lack of understanding and your ability to... Lord. Hey, I was driving in my car yesterday, which you do every once in a while, although the price of gas is so high, I may not drive around in my car anymore. Yeah, gasoline, a gallon of regular in my area is $273.20 and 9 tenths. Yeah, it's that much. Anyway, I'm driving around and I made a right-hand turn by mistake. I wasn't following my GPO, my GPS, my IUD. I don't know what it's called. I made a right-hand turn and there was a big sign as I was driving down this strange street and it said dead end. And all of a sudden it hit me. That's a horrible sign. Why do we have a sign like that? What a dead end? What a horrible, horrible thing to have on a sign. You're driving down a street. The end is near. It's the dead end. That's awful. That's awful. And what if you live on a dead end? What the hell does that mean? Can't they come up with a better phrase than that? Dead end? How about a closed street? Not a throughway. How about that? No exit, but dead end. If you continue to drive down the street, you will meet your demise. I would never want to live on a dead end. What a final place to be. Wow. Awful sign. Awful. It made me sad immediately. It made me think of my mortality. Don't put the word dead on a sign, please. No, not on a public sign. Don't put that word on there. Nobody needs that word on a sign describing a street. God, the street is dead. Wow, that's a little extreme. Can't I live on a perhaps not feeling too well street? This is a dead end. You shall not survive. It's awful. It was just awful. It was a horrible. All the way home, when I was driving, I thought, oh my God, that was close. I almost met my demise on this road. Well, that was a close one. It's a dead end. They should have pictures of people just laying on the ground. What happened here? Was there some kind of a gas leak and everybody died? Yes. It's a dead end. Awful. Just awful. I was watching TV yesterday, one of those late night infomercial things. It might have been an infomercial or just like a really long commercial. And I'm watching it, and the name of the product was Scalp Med. Now, I don't know what that meant. I guess the people who live on the street, they take their scalp off. It's a dead end. I've overplayed that thing. Anyway, Scalp Med is apparently some type of hair talcum thing, and you put it on your head, and it actually grows hair. If you have a bald spot, which to many people is more than just a spot, it's an entire concept. If you're freaking bald or your hair is thinning, oh, I have hair. But it's so thin you can't see it. I have a hair. You use Scalp Med, and results. You can be growing hair within a month. Not much, not enough to say that I look different. But after an entire year, you could have a full head of hair with Scalp Med. I have not Googled this thing. I don't know if it works or if it doesn't work. That's not the point. But ScalpMed, and at the bottom of the screen, you got that little disclaimer that they always have, only the letters on this disclaimer at the bottom of the TV screen were rather large. And it said, your results may vary. Okay, I get that. Some people who use ScalpMed are going to grow hair rather well. Other people, it'll be an abysmal failure. There was like a six-month guarantee. If it doesn't, if you don't grow hair, any hair within 6 months, you can return it. I don't know. It's probably $2 million to do it. I have no idea. But it says your results may vary. And that's, I understand that. Everybody's results vary. I get that. But then the next sentence is the one that got me. The next sentence said, in rather large letters, results not typical. Okay. Now you're blowing my mind. They had a picture of a guy who was had a gigantic bald spot in the top of his head. Like it was cleared for a helicopter landing. Giant crop circle on the top of his head. And within 6 months, the crop circle's gone and he has a full head of hair up there where there was no hair before. Then they showed another picture of a guy that was rather butt ugly without too much hair, but with a full head of hair, all right, somewhat human. And then they had a woman whose hair was so thin that you couldn't really call it hair. It's like someone peed on the carpet and never cleaned it. And after 6 months, she looked somewhat better. I'd date her. I'd buy her a sandwich. So they're showing pictures of before and after, and you just start to get drawn into this thing, especially if you don't have much hair. You get drawn into commercials like this. So like, perhaps the Savior has come. You know, you can have the second coming. You can have Jesus come back and save humanity. That would be nice. But if Jesus had a way that you could bring your hair back to the way it was when you were younger, now that would be significant. Now you're talking. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So they have the pictures before and after, and they're all rather impressive. And then at the bottom of the screen, it has this line at the bottom of the screen that says, results not typical. If those results are not typical, then why the hell would I buy the product in the first place? What is typical? That's my question. If growing hair for a growing hair product, the results are not typical, why the hell would I buy the thing? What is typical? And I have a feeling the results that are typical are no results. And they don't show those. There are no pictures before and after where the results ended up being not typical. And most of the results are not typical. It's a dangerous phrase to put at the bottom. I give this ScalpMed, this commercial, I give them props. They've got testicles here. Oh, by the way, I wonder if you rub that on your testicles, what would happen? Interesting. But they got balls to be so honest. Here's our product. Typically, it doesn't work. It might work on you, but not typically. Typically, it's not going to work. Well, I'll buy that. That sounds like the product for me. You know why? Because you're not typical. You're not typical at all. I've said this on the program before many, many times. People that are normal are not normal. Have you noticed that? The more people that you meet, the more you find out there is no normal. Normal is not being normal. When people walk around and say, well, you know, I'm not a normal person, that's everybody. Everybody that I meet is not normal. That is the new normal. You hear this with COVID, you know, like the COVID now, this is a new normal. No. People aren't normal to begin with. There is no more normal. Normal is not being normal. Everybody's not normal. And I mean everybody. I went to the movies yesterday to see an interesting film called Automat. It was a documentary about an hour and a half long about the Horn and Hardart Automat in New York and Philadelphia. If you're a millennial or newer, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. That's okay. I think you usually don't know what the hell I'm talking about. It's about automats. Anyway, that has nothing to do with my story. I go to this theater in West Newton, Massachusetts. It's a town. I love it when towns are named after themselves. The town is Newton, Massachusetts. There's no East Newton. There's no North Newton. There's no South Newton. But there is a West Newton. Why? You don't understand how to name things. There's a Virginia. There's no East Virginia. There's no North Virginia. There's no South Virginia. But there's an entire state, a separate state, called West Virginia. Couldn't you come up with another name? Why isn't West New York called West New York? Instead, they call it New Jersey. They should have called it West New York. Anyway, so I'm in this town, West Newton, and there's this movie theater, and it's an art house. You know, they don't show normal films. What's normal, right? We just went through that. So they got this film Automat, and I'm sitting there in the theater with my lovely woman. And we're sitting there, and there's only two other couples in the theater. Not a popular film at 3:15 in the afternoon. Which gives you an idea of what my life is like at 3:15 in the afternoon on a Monday. I'm sitting in a movie theater with two other couples watching a movie about an automat, and it's a documentary. That's the kind of life I have right now. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. So they show the coming attractions. They have two floodlight bulbs pointed at the screen. I don't know why. Why would you ever want to light up a screen with floodlights? I don't know. I have no idea why. This starts to give you an idea of the intelligence of the people that made this theater. So I'm sitting there, they're watching the coming attractions. I can hardly see what's on the screen because it's lit up with a white light. I mean, what the hell? The coming attractions are over. They've come. They're not attractive. And the movie starts. And as the movie starts, these white floodlights are still pointed and on the screen. This goes on for about 2 minutes. And I say to my lovely assistant, this is stupid. I'm going to go and tell them that their house lights are still on. A couple of them pointed at the screen. We can't see the movie. So I get up and I walk into the lobby. And there's this, I wouldn't call her a woman. I'd say she's a girl that's bordering on womanhood. And I said, excuse me, but there are two floodlights lighting up the screen and the movie started and I can't see the movie. And her response is, instead of, I'm sorry, oh my God, we're inefficient. Her response is, I can take care of that. Good for you. And then I walk back to my seat And I sit there for another 2 minutes. And the floodlights are still on the screen. Finally, they start dimming. And I said to myself, here we are. This, again, is an example of inefficiency. Because if I go to a movie, the movie could be shown on a screen where the floodlights are still on. Results are not typical. Oh, I may go to the movie, they may show the movie, but the results of seeing the movie, they're not typical. Throughout the entire day, there were situations that occurred where everything was inefficient. I had a problem with my cell phone. I had a question about it. I had to make a call to another country, to Spain. I didn't know how to do it. What's the charge going to be? So I pick up my phone. I call Verizon because I have a Verizon cell phone. I'm not bragging. Believe me, I'm not bragging. I call the number and I get the robot. And the robot says, well, I can help you. And I said to the robot, I don't know if you can or not, but I'm not spending my time talking to a robot. So I said, what is your problem? I mean, what's your problem? How can I help you? I think he said, how can I help you? To me, they're saying, what is your problem? And I say, I want to speak to an agent. I had to say that 15 times before the damn robot gave it up. I said, all right, I'll find a human being to talk to you. Yeah, you do that. Because I don't talk to machines. Maybe your younger generations do. I don't talk to machines. I don't hold full conversations with machines. I'm not a machine. If you haven't noticed, Verizon, your customers are not machines. They are human beings. They're warm-blooded mammals. And right there, I felt like once I did get the agent, I told her, I said, this sucks. Your customer service sucks. I know you have to have a job, but your company sucks. And I really want to cancel my cell phone because you people are just so frustrating to just ask a simple question. I got nobody to talk to but machines. And then as I'm waiting for this agent, who eventually had to say, hold on, I'll look up the answer to your question. So don't you people, you're a phone company. Don't you people know this stuff off the top of your head? Didn't you go through some training or something? Then I'm thinking maybe the machine would have answered my question more efficiently. There's constant, these bings are going off on my phone as I'm talking to them. They're sending me text messages on how I can be helped and how I can do this through texting. Look, give me a person to talk to so I can grill them. And if they say something I don't understand, I can ask them a follow-up question. I don't talk to machines. I don't talk to machines. It's very frustrating, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know how frustrating it is to walk the planet these days. It got worse. It's frustrating. And that's why nothing is normal anymore. And when you come across something that works out, where someone gives you a quick, intelligent response, or when a movie starts, the lights dim immediately, remember those days when everything seemed to work pretty well? Weren't a lot of problems. Weren't a lot of questions. The more there's technology, the more I have to try to figure things out. Life was simpler when I didn't have to figure things out. When I didn't have to ask machines about things that I didn't know, where the machine seemed to be smarter than I was. They warned me about this computer age where the machines would be smarter than the people. They warned me, and I thought, that's impossible. No, it's not. Are you kidding me? I've got a device in my house, and it's got a female name, and it begins with an A, Now I can't say the name out loud because all of a sudden the walls will start saying, how can I help you? The unit is called, it's called Alexa. I can't say it loud. I can't because she's always listening. She turns on lights for me. She plays music for me. She plays games with me. She tells me what the weather is. She warns me if there's a storm coming. She tells me if I'm going to be getting a delivery today. She says I can order through her. She's always there for me. She'll stroke my back, which is a little scary, but actually rather comfortable. I can program her to say my name in all kinds of languages. She'll tell me recipes for food, what to do today, what's going on nearby. Yeah, it's happened. It's happened. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm almost out of time. But before I do go away, there are many of you every once in a while who request a horoscope reading. I don't believe in horoscopes because I believe that the things that happen probably suck anyway. Horoscopes just tell you what's coming up in the suck world. So I don't really pay much attention to them. But every once in a while, I do.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, if your life seems like it's going nowhere this month, take heart in knowing that you are absolutely correct. That counts for something. Pisces, they say it's very rare for people to get attacked by wild bears in the city, but you are about to prove them wrong. Aries, this month your lucky number is 3, if you know what I mean. Taurus, you know that list of hopes and dreams you've secretly been keeping? Might want to change the title to Bucket List and get going on it. Gemini, the delivery boy is going to add a little something extra to the next pizza you order. Perhaps it's time to reconsider the whole no tipping the delivery boy thing? Cancer, don't put off your big plans just because it looks like someone else beat you to it. There's definitely room for 2 transgendered Caitlins in the world. Leo, a mysterious stranger will approach you with an intriguing proposition soon. The stars are a little unclear, so it's 50-50 that it might be a mugging. Virgo, put the sadness of the past behind you and get back out there in the world. This time, though, put on some pants first, and you're still not allowed near schools. Libra, pursue your dreams no matter what other people say. If you ask me, the world could probably use more whale gynecologists. Scorpio, not looking like a great month for you. The job situation is iffy, the romance will probably come to an end, finances are rocky, but look on the bright side. When and if it eventually shows up. Good luck. Sagittarius, a little more fiber in the diet wouldn't hurt, Capricorn, nobody likes Mondays, of course, but for you, this Tuesday is like, wow, the stars are like cringing and talking about how to express their condolences. I'd say stay inside, but probably not going to make a difference. I'm Kip Starchild, and that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
Anyway, good luck with that. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show, at which time we shall again convene. Are you ready? It's time to leave. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.